bearer of the real. How are we to use the moment of decision? True talent stands with you. Fortunate are you. Fortunate is the life we bring forth. A life born not of flesh, nor of some imaginary elsewhere, but of bread, fascination, and courage. A life born of spirit and death. A life that shows us ourselves. Welcome, bearer of the real. Speak in us now, and at the hour of our death. Some of you might kind of recognize that. This is a prayer called the Hail Mary. Familiar from Catholic worship? It's a dialogue with a story in the Gospel of Luke. You might remember the story where the divine messenger Gabriel shows up to speak to a young woman who's about to give birth to Jesus. Now, these stories, they're wonderful stories. They haven't always been accessible to me as stories. The spirit methods, the spirit reading methods I want to share with you this afternoon have helped me access these stories as stories in a way that I wasn't able to access them before. Now, I've always loved stories. Ever since I was a child, my mother's family, the tenant farmer, Scots-Irish, hillbilly side, they were great storytellers. And what that meant was, in a sense, that they were a bunch of liars. My great-grandfather, when he used to tell a story, he'd start by saying, did I ever tell you about the time when I, and he always had told us about that time before. We always said, no, Grandpa. We said no because we knew that this time it would be different. And this time it would be better. Why? Because Grandpa was a great storyteller. He found that place in the story where it touched you, it pulled you in, it wouldn't let you go, and it stuck with you and lived with you. And everything else, once he found that point, would change to accentuate that point. The people who were there, the events that occurred around it, all that would change to accentuate that point. Now, because I have this love of stories, I think from hearing him and the other relatives on that side telling stories when I was a kid, I got so that I really loved stories growing up reading them. The one I remember the earliest was The Snow Queen. And that story really scared the living hell out of me. But I wanted to read it again and again and again and again. Even though, or maybe even because it scared me. And then when I was in adolescence, I still loved this kind of story. The kind that reaches into you, grabs you, holds you tight, and won't let go until it becomes part of you. And none of these stories ever asked me to believe they were factual. Like, I didn't have to believe in magic rings to understand how somebody could become so attached to an object that it would become their precious. More precious than anything in the world. More precious than their friends, their family, anything. I didn't have to believe in hobbits to understand how a creature who is inexperienced, small, provincial, could be called out to a task so large that the most powerful, the most worldly, and the most large leaders couldn't complete that task. And I didn't have to believe in evil rigorates or their magic power to understand how taking on that task came at a cost. So I didn't have to believe these stories were factual, because in my own experience, they touched something that was my own life. And because of that, they were true. I was invited to come into them, to wander around inside those stories. And when I did that, they came to dwell in me as well. Now, I think the New Testament stories of Jesus were originally doing something like that, and can still do something like that when we read them that way. I imagine these early gatherings of people who were dying to being Jews, dying to being Greeks, dying to being male, dying to being female, dying to being slaves, dying to being masters, and coming alive to being some bottomless mystery that filled them with dread, that filled them with fascination, that filled them with courage. A new being. A being they thought of as the resurrection of this man, Jesus of Nazareth. Being that they thought of as the body of Christ. And they were able to think of themselves as this being because when they heard these stories, it wasn't a question of whether they were factual. It was a question of these stories. I know these stories are true because these stories are my own experience. I am dying. I am coming alive again as something new. These stories were about them. They found themselves in these stories. They lost themselves in these stories, and they found themselves again. Now, this hasn't always been the case for me. And I grew up in my Midwestern Methodist Sunday school class. They told us these stories. But these stories were told clearly in order to persuade us to believe in things that precisely we had never experienced and were unlikely to ever experience. In fact, that was the whole point. Because believing in these absurd things was supposed to save us from death. If I could persuade myself that Jesus scooped up this mud, put it in the eyes of a guy who had never seen before, and voila, he could see. Or that when Jesus' best friend died, he shed a tear, issued a command, and there was his buddy alive again, and they could just go have a drink together. If we could persuade ourselves of that, then maybe we could persuade ourselves that the deaths of our own loved ones, what that said about our own mortality, did not in fact challenge or call into question the expectations, the obligations that ruled our lives and the way they seemed to challenge those expectations and obligations. So hearing the tales of Jesus was like being pulled in two directions. On one side, there was our integrity. But the cost of that was the loss of hope and immortality, the loss of hope in seeing our dead grandma, grandpa again, our dead friend. And on the other side was pretense. And the reward for pretense was that we can cling to that false hope in death. So it's no wonder we didn't find ourselves in these stories. Is these stories were not unable to find a place in us. Now, the liberal approach to Scripture later on helped me a little bit to understand how these stories could be meaningful without being factual. So, for instance, the birth stories of Jesus from the Gospel of Luke with their divine messengers and virgin pregnancies and all of that were a way of expressing the fact that true authority and power didn't lie with the commanders of great armies like Caesar Augustus and Alexander the Great, whose birth stories were already full of divine messengers and virgin pregnancies. But with any life, however humble, that was lived authentically. But the problem with this liberal approach to scripture, this liberal scholarship, is that it's still dependent on getting everything right. Because understanding the stories was all about knowing the sociological context, the historical context, the literary context in which they were written. So I could enter these stories with my mind, but not with my feelings. I couldn't connect to them in the immediate way that I could connect to the story of the Snow Queen or to the Lord of the Rings. And when the Christian Resurgence Circle that I belonged to in Houston began to practice grounding the stories of Jesus in the New Testament, I gradually was able to relax my guard enough so that I could begin to access these stories again just as stories. And their profundity really began to come through when I was able to do that. In the last few months, there have been other methods that I'll talk about in a little bit that are new to me. They're not really new, but they're new to me. That have helped me also deepen my dialogue with these stories. But before I tell you about those methods, I'd like to give you a chance to talk a little bit with each other about your own journey with the New Testament stories of Jesus. It's very, very difficult to grow up in this country without having some sort of journey with those stories. They're ubiquitous and they surround us. So whether it's positive or negative or in between, you have some sort of journey with them. So pick a partner. Hopefully, we might be running out of somebody you haven't partnered with before, but somebody you're not partnering with every day. And take a few minutes to talk with that partner about your journey with these New Testament stories of Jesus and reflect on that a little bit. And then when I ring the bell, switch partners and go the other way. And then we'll come back here to do the